Hello, are you having a good time?
Yes.
I asked you that before. Lori's back. She's right there. Oh, God's good. Praise the Lord. God is into leaving. Amen? He is into leaving this world. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is where we live. Amen. Greg was talking about it this morning. The kingdom of heaven is where we live. Oh, you thought I was talking about America. Is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where we live. Amen. That's where you live. You now live in the kingdom of heaven. Somebody's going to cut this out of the tape and make it bad, make it wrong. This is the kingdom hall, basically. Amen. Somebody says, oh my goodness, I'm in a Jehovah's Witness place. No, you're not. No, but this is where we meet. We meet together. This is the kingdom of heaven, and we're meeting in this place. Amen? That's where we have our meeting. We're going to fix to have a Senate District Convention at a place, one church over on the west side of town. We're going to have a Senate District Convention because all the Republicanos are going to meet together. But this is where the kingdom of heaven meets. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have a few stragglers in here, too. You know, we let them come in and kind of kick the tires and see what's going on and find out what's happening. You know, you should be bringing some from out there in Dennis, you know. Bring some folks who don't even have a clue. They don't even know what's happening. They don't know why you brought them here. But the Holy Spirit, it comes in when you come in. Amen? The Holy Spirit doesn't live here. Amen? He lives in you. He doesn't live here. He doesn't hang out here. I mean, we have consecrated and dedicated this place for the kingdom of heaven to meet here. And we have dedicated this place for the work of the kingdom of heaven and saying, you know, everybody else, you know, all your other business, just, you know, stay out. You know, you don't have any business in here. And so we have this place that we meet in, but that's not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, where as Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you, isn't it? So the kingdom of heaven is within you. And today, because it's just the Lord just kind of put this on my heart today, is the various reasons people leave things. You know, a lot of times you leave things and you leave them because of various reasons. Now, the reasons you want to leave things is because of a promise from the Lord. Amen? That's the reason you want to leave. That's a good reason to leave, is because you have a word from God and a promise from the Lord. That's the only reason to leave anything. Amen? So wherever God's got you put, wherever you find yourself, don't move until you've heard from God. Amen? To instruct your children. Instruct your brothers and sisters in the natural. Those who don't know the Lord. Don't move. Don't go anywhere until you've had a word from God. A word from God? What? Teach them some about how to hear from God. Teach somebody, first of all, teach them about Jesus. But teach them also how to hear from God within the context of the world. You remember Pastor Jim talks about the right hand and the left hand. Well, the left hand is also the hand of God, isn't it? The left hand is the natural law. The left hand is those things that are taking place. And you encourage those whom you know who are not yet in the kingdom of heaven, who don't know yet Jesus, that they will learn and listen just from the things that are happening to them, and just encourage them that God is for them. God is for you. That's one good way that you can begin to witness to somebody. It's just to tell them God is for them. They don't have to come to your church. They don't have to bow down right there and accept Jesus. Just tell them that God is on their side. Amen? God is for you. God is in the world making His way to bless you. That's what you need to do. That's what your first testimony is to those who are on the outside, is to encourage them that God is for them. He is not against them. He's not trying to get them to quit sinning. Amen? Amen. I said He's not trying to get them to quit sinning. He just wants them to realize that He's on their side. And in being on their side, He's created a trust. You know, when you find out that Grandpa made you a trust, you thought Grandpa was mad at you. But actually, Grandpa made you a trust and made provision for you and set up a whole system to bless you. Amen? So then He's giving you a promise so that you will know exactly what He's done and what He's put in place for you. And you can begin to just thank God. Just raise a family and thank God. And you create an environment that shows the goodness of God. Amen? You do that not only in your family, you do that in your neighborhood, you do that in your political life. I know people who are just upset in political life. Amen? It's because that's all they've got. They don't have God directing the political life. So they're not at peace. They think all they have is what they do. And it's not what they do. It's what God does. And so God's given us freedom. God's given us authority in the world. And that's what He set you in place to do. So if you're out there in Dennis, Texas, or if you're out there in some little place that God, you got more authority than some guy in Fort Worth. Amen. You know, because you're the man of God in a community of, you know, 10,000 people, if that may. 2,000, 200, 500, 5,000, 500. See, you're the man of God in that place. So don't just, you know, make like it's your deal and you can just, you know, do, you know, play your video game or what, you know, or play with your son. Yeah, it's not because your son, he's going to grow up in that community, and that community is going to be, he's going to have to be transformed into God's community. Because you don't want him growing up in a community that's full of dishonesty and ugliness and hatred. You want one that's raised up in the love of God. Amen? So that's why you change that. See, that's why God allowed you to have authority in this place, because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. No matter where you are, whether it's 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, or a million, is that you have authority in this place. Amen? Yes. So that's what He did with Abraham. That's what He did with Moses. He made promises to them, and He set them in place. God made a promise, and that includes every one of you. Forget whether your name is Moses. Your main name is Jill. And Jill, God set you in place because He knows that He loves everybody who comes in contact with you, and He can now use you to be love to them and to show them the goodness of God. Amen? That's so powerful, and it's true. You've seen it, haven't you? It's so powerful. It's so true. All right, let's look at this for a minute. Now, there's other reasons to leave. Some of the reasons to leave are because you just want to get out, leaving for self, leaving for, you know, you haven't heard of the love of God. So you're basically going to get out. You're tired of what this thing is. You're tired of what's been happening in your neighborhood, and you're tired of what's been happening in your family, and you're going to go just make it better. I mean, you might live for getting liberty. I want freedom. So you might leave for that purpose. Amen. We've got some young people who would leave for purposes of liberty. Let me go. Did anybody leave for that reason? Did anybody leave where you were for that reason? Huh? Yeah. You just left. Amen. Leave for greener pastures. Leave because it's better over there. Amen. Yeah, everybody knows when you get there, it's always better, isn't it? Huh? How many people are here over 25? You could probably teach a class on that, couldn't you? All right. Or you leave because of fear. Oh, my God, what's going to happen here? I've got to get out of here. Something's going to happen. And this maybe God told you to stay there, but you bugged out anyway because, you know, you're afraid. Amen? We have those things. And then we have the those who leave involuntarily. You had no intention of leaving. You had no real purpose for leaving. You didn't want to leave. You'd prefer to have stayed. You know, we have stories in the Scripture about that. You flee because you have to. You're taken captive, or you're sold into slavery. God does all kinds. He can deliver you from every situation and bring you back to the promise. I say God can bring you back to the promise every time. The only reason to leave is for a promise. Even if you've left involuntarily, or you left because of your own juices and because of your own purposes, God will always bring you back. The promise is always good. The promise is always there. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to talk to you some about these various avenues. And we're talking about, again, the kingdom of heaven, right? So you're leaving for the purpose of the kingdom of heaven. First of all, I want to look at, and my notes are all over the place, I apologize. if you look in Luke chapter 15, we have that the story of the prodigal son. We're talking about leaving for self, leaving for selfish reasons, leaving for the reasons that, I mean, the guy was raised in a godly home, but he was determined that he had not seen everything there was to see. He was determined that, you know, he was going to get out, and there was more to this world than he was being told. Anybody been like that? There's more to this thing. They're hiding it from me, and I'm going to find out what it's all about. Verse 11 says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. And he divided to them his living. And not many days after that, his younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Well, we could go and use that for your financial seminar right there, right? You know, he spent all of his money and riotous living, but there came bad times, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would have eaten the husks that the swine did eat, but no man even gave him that. And when he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? How's that for a revelation? How many want that revelation? You know, after the fact, you're in trouble. You chose to bail on God's provision, and all of a sudden, here you are in trouble. Here you are in want, and the way you learn about it is, in the middle of trouble, right? And so God, that's one of the reasons you leave, and you find yourself in trouble. All right, let's look over at Exodus. Genesis chapter 13. Hope you get your running shoes on today, because we're going to be doing a lot of it. Genesis chapter 13. See, I don't even have my pad out or anything, so I'm just going with you. All right? Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. And Abram said to Lot. Here's Lot and Abram. They're gonna have a separation because they're just of necessity. And it says, and Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we be brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, I will go to the right, or if you'll depart to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, okay, so he saw that all that good land out there, and saw how blessed that was, and his concern was, you know, in leaving, was not saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? His concern in leaving was just, keep my eye out there on that whole thing, and I'm going to decide based solely on economics what I'm going to do. And regardless of anything else that's out there, regardless of any other factor that may factor into it, like wickedness and sinfulness and moving my family into a circumstance, which we're not going to read all about, but you know the rest of the story, is that Lot moved his family into the same pigsty that the prodigal son moved into, didn't he? He moved himself into that same situation for financial accommodation. So there are reasons you move. You move for liberty, get me out of this situation. You leave for financial reasons, and you leave for desiring to better yourself, which is not wrong to better yourself. But consider the location that you're heading for. And he said, but the men of Sodom, but verse 13, now read that. This is already in the newspaper. This is already in the Wall Street Journal. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That was already in here. He already knew about that. He knew where he is. He was moving, and he did not consider the ramifications of that. And finally, of course, you know, his whole family is in trouble down there in Sodom, you know, when God decides to destroy the thing. Now, God came immediately and started talking to Abraham about, you know, well, you know, this Sodom and Gomorrah thing, I'm finally going to go ahead and deal with that. And of course, you know, Lot had just moved down there. And so Abraham's busy, you know, negotiating with God for, you know, well, if there's 50, if there were 50, would you, you know. But of course, you couldn't even find more than four down there who were righteous. And it doesn't mean, you know, just because you're righteous, but it doesn't mean you always made the right decision. See? I mean, God found Lot and his daughters and his wife down there. And that was four, wasn't ten. But God still considered them righteous, and he was not going to destroy the city, but he was going to get them out. So just because you made a bad decision doesn't mean that God decides that you're not righteous or that he is not your father. Amen? I just wanted to mention that. Okay? He didn't just going to write them off because they made a bad decision and moved to Sodom. He didn't write them off, did he? Did he? No, he didn't. He, in fact, saved them out of that stupid decision. So God's going to save you out of the stupid decision. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, you know, he was just minding his own business. He wasn't even paying attention. All of a sudden, two angels show up down there in his house. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, that was good. Okay, we're done with that one. Let's move on. All right? So you're leaving for various reasons. All right? This is for the reasons of bettering yourself and kind of moving on in this life and moving on in this world. And see, these are the reasons people leave. Or to protect yourself. Moses, Exodus chapter 2. Look at that. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, look at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, when he went out to his brethren, and he looked upon their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he had went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore did you smite your brother?" And he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Intend you to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh had heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. So Moses began his ministry by again taking things into his own hands, didn't he? I'm going to save my people. He went out to check on his people because he knew these were his people. His mother had told him, said, "These are your people," and so he went out to check on them, and he began to take action. And how many know that he ran into trouble? Amen. All right, and Peter. I'll talk about Peter, and let's look over at Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Praise the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 69. I was amazed when you got chapters with verses that get up into the 60s. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. All right. Now, Peter sat outside the palace. You know what? We know where this is going. Peter sat outside the palace, and a damsel came to him. This is, of course, this is when Jesus had already been arrested. And here Peter's hanging out on the fringes, you know, waiting to find out what's happening with Jesus. So he said, a damsel, a girl, sat outside and saying to him, "You were also with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're saying." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said to them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while they came to him, they that stood by said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and to swear and to say, I do not know the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter didn't go anywhere, but he left. Amen. Did you notice? He denied the Lord because he did not want to be caught, you know, in whatever circumstance could have been a problem for him in the flesh. Amen. All of these things, you're escaping things that could be consequences in the flesh. All right. Let's look over back over again into Genesis chapter 37. It's not too heavy for you, is it? I just mean turning all those pages. It's a big book. Genesis 37. Some of them leave involuntarily. Amen. Some people, maybe you left involuntarily. You didn't want to leave. You didn't want to leave, but you were forced to leave. And sometimes, somehow you're mad about that. Amen. Were you forced to leave? Were you forced out? Something didn't work out right and you couldn't stay like you wanted to? Let's look at Joseph for a minute. Joseph, chapter 37. And we're talking about the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of this world. Genesis 37, look at verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, that his father gave him. And they took him and they cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh and going down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, after all, and our flesh. And his brethren were content. They were all in one accord. And then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Well, it's more than, it's not even as much as Jesus. Yeah, Jesus got 30. Judas got 30. Of course, I guess inflation, you know. It was a long time later. For 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So, Joseph left involuntarily, did he not? Okay, look at Exodus again, Exodus chapter 2. That's not far. Verse 11. We just did that. Never mind, skip that. That's a good. That was a good story. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations and such, Ezekiel, and Daniel. All right. Daniel chapter 1. And I'm just going to start with the first verse. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Jerusalem, and to Jerusalem besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar. Skip down to verse 3. And the king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Okay, so these guys were just picked up and hauled off. They were taken captive. Certain of the best of the best, the best and the brightest of the Israeli, of the kingdom of Israel. certain of the children of the king and of the king's seed and of the princes. Verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and as such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. All right? All right, we're going to stop right there for a moment. And so all of these, again, so all of these have been taken at their without their own desire. All of these have been taken out of a place. And if that's you, God's got a plan for you. Amen? If you were taken out of the place that you began and you did not want to go, God's got a plan for you. You're not without hope. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're not without hope. God has a plan for you. God has a promise for you, Tom. God's got a promise for you. Yes. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's look at the promises. Now, look at the promises. Here's a reason to leave. Genesis chapter 7. No, sorry. 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said to Abram. So the Lord just came upon Abram. Abram was a priest. Just a priest in a godless religion of the day, of the land of Ur. He's a priest for a living, but not a priest in the kingdom of God. There were no Israelites at the time. God, this was somewhat after the flood. These were the generations after the flood. And God had to find him a guy. God had to find him a man who would trust and believe his promise. So God came to Abram. And the Lord had said to Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that curse you. And curse him that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow. What was your name again? I want to write all this down. This is a good promise. So the Lord had said to Abraham these things. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. What did he do? Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He got up and got out. Amen. When the Lord calls upon you, get up. Get out. Get up. Get out. The Lord tends to call you and he says, get up and get out. Amen. Now, whether that is physical, in a physical sense today, here in these particular circumstances, yeah, it's definitely true in many cases. But first of all, when we come to Jesus, we get up and get out of those things that the enemy has had us in. Whether we were going to escape for purposes of getting a greener pasture, or getting my own way, or getting free from some perceived bondage. You know, whatever we thought we were going to get away from. But God said, you listen to me and do exactly what I tell you, and I'll bless you. Amen? So God's going to bless me. I'm convinced. Amen? You know, for me, I had to get out of the Lutheran church. You know? Praise the Lord. You know, I got out before Jim did. I saw the handwritten on the wall. I got out of that place. See, Jim didn't get out till 1980. I got out in 1975. Hightail it out of there. Amen? Because God began to speak when I was 14, you know. God used Jim as a blessing. Yeah, how many knew we'd known each other for 40-some-odd years? And God used him as a blessing. I received the Lord because he had received the Lord. I received the Lord Jesus. But then God began to lead me. And God began to move me out. God began to put me in a place where he wanted me to be. He told me when I was 14, you're going to be a pastor. So, you know, and I began to pursue that. Why? I began to pursue what God led me to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pursue what God gave you to do. Don't be disappointed. Amen. Don't be disappointed. Don't let all this other stuff, remember this other stuff we said at the top about stuff that you're trying to get out of, get away from, and get fur from. Don't do it. Just listen to the promise. Listen to the promise. And nobody talk to me. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you do. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. All right, so Abram got out. All right, in verse 7, look at verse 7, 12, chapter 12, verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. All right, now look at Joseph in chapter 37 again. Look at Joseph in chapter 37 of Genesis. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. This is before he was taken captive. Joseph dreamed a dream. Of course, that's why his brothers got mad at him too, you know, because he was spouting off about this dream. Sometimes when you're a kid, you spout off a lot. But the Lord still can speak to you. Amen? All right. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him the more. He was already daddy's favorite, but they hated him the more. And he said to them, hear, I pray you, for this dream that I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. They bowed down. And his brethren said to him, shall we, you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brothers. And he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brother. And his father rebuked him and said to him, so your father might even rebuke you for this thing. What is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come to bow ourselves down to you? And his brethren envied him. His brothers envied him, but his father observed the saying. His father, even though the way he shared it was probably inappropriate, his father took note of it. His father wrote it down somewhere. Because he recognized the signs of hearing from the Lord. Kids can hear from the Lord, but they can demonstrate it and bring it forth in a way that's inappropriate. But always be wise as a parent. Don't just rebuke your children they can hear God. Don't rebuke them. Rebuke them for the means, the way they share it, but don't rebuke them for hearing the Lord. Amen? Just take it to Jesus. And verse chapter 41, look at chapter 41, verse 38. This is the promise. Remember the dream? Remember Joseph's dream? That was a promise. He didn't quite understand it, but it somehow or another, this is going to take place. And in chapter 41, verse 38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, here we are, after Joseph has been captured and brought to Egypt, and he was in the house of Potiphar, and then he got in trouble over there for staying pure. And he got into the prison, and two or three guys said they'd help him and never got around to it. And so, but God exalted him in the prison. And here he is. Now somebody's going to remember. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man such as one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? Because the butler all of a sudden went, oh, there was a guy in the prison. And Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And he said, this guy can interpret dreams. So they brought Daniel in. or excuse me, they brought Joseph in. And can we find a man such as this in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all of this, and there is none so discreet and wise as you. He had told them the entire story of the feast and the famine in the land of Egypt that was to come, and gave him an entire plan of how to implement the plan, of how to implement these necessary changes. And he had also, by the same token, told the Pharaoh his dream. Described the Pharaoh's dream, and then told him how to deal with it. And seeing that there is none so discreet and wise as you are, you shall be over my house, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled, and only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine gold and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. God's promise. God's promise. You leave for a promise, whether it was involuntarily in Joseph's case, or the prodigal, where he came back. The father received him gladly with joy, and made the fatted calf to be killed because of him, to bless him. Amen? Because God does love you. Amen. Moses, over in Exodus chapter 3. Keep going. Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 1 through 4. So Moses is out here in the desert. He fled, and he's out here in the desert in the land of Midian with Jethro and his daughters keeping the flocks 40 years later. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, verse 1, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire and was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight where the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And look down at verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land to a good land, and a large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So again, God's promise. He started out on his own. He started out with his own hand. But God reached him. God came to him. God came to him. And made a promise to him. And he began to follow God's promise. Amen? All right. And you'll remember, this is a good one. We can't miss this one. Okay. Look over at Daniel again, verse 1, chapter 1. This is more scripture than usual on a day, but for the purposes of this message, I think it's important. Amen? Praise the Lord. Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel, of course, you remember Daniel and them, where they were brought over because they were the cream of the crop, and they were the greatest guys in Israel, and they were going to go utilize that good Hebrew wisdom and intelligence. All that Nobel Prize winning. You know, the Jews have won more Nobel Prizes than any other people. By tens. unbelievable. Because God blesses His people. Amen? I mean, more than anybody. And here, so they knew about that back then. They knew about that back then. And they began to use that and utilize that. When they get into Israel, they get their kids and they want to make them their own. But listen here what Daniel says. See, they wanted to get those kids. But Daniel purposed in his heart, but. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel's got a plan already. Daniel's got a plan because he knows the promise of God. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed what you're supposed to eat and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse and looking unhealthy and weak and gaunt than the children which are of the rest of your sort? Then shall you make me to endanger my head to the king. In other words, I'm going to feed you what they tell me to fatten you up, make you look good, make you look healthy. And then Daniel said to Melzar, the prince of the eunuchs had said over Daniel, prove your servants, and I beseech you, 10 days, let us give vegetables and water to drink. Just vegetables and water for 10 days. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the king's children, the children that eat the king's meat. And as you see, deal, and whatever you think then, you know, deal with your servants as you see fit. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved him 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them the vegetables. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. He was determined he was going to follow God's lead. He's determined he's going to follow God's lead and not the lead of the world in which he now found himself. Amen? Have you found yourself in the world, in this world? Have you found yourself here among the world and the things that they do and the ways that they follow? Daniel determined that he was going to follow what the Holy Spirit told him to do. Daniel determined that he was going to follow the promise of God. Jesus in Hebrews 12:2 said, for the joy that was set before him, he what? Endured the cross, despising the shame. The promise that, and that promise was us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the reproach. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. In Matthew 4, Jesus came upon Peter and Andrew and told them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets. If you read on further, he came to James and John with their father in the boat. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. With their father in the boat. So not only did they have their business, but they had their dad. And Jesus came to them with their dad standing right there. Said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and their father. They didn't just decide to leave their father. It wasn't part one of this message. Well, I'm tired of my dad, so I'm leaving. No. Jesus came. The Holy Spirit came. The Word of the Lord came and said, it's time to pick up and go. Abraham, it's time to pick up and go. Moses, I'm calling you to deliver my people. Acts chapter 22. Let's look at that. You remember the beginning of in chapter 9 of Acts, it gives a very brief rendition of the conversion of Paul. But here in Acts chapter 22, he actually gives a longer rendition of his conversion, which I like to share. Chapter 22, verse 6 of the book of Acts. "And it came to pass as I made my journey and was come near to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." Now, of course, this is prefaced by his testimony that he was on his way to destroy more Christians in Damascus, that he was on a mission to destroy the work of Jesus. "And so there was a light shone from heaven about noon, and I fell to the ground, and a voice said to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' And I answered and said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he answered me and said, 'I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute.' And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, and they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?'" Okay, so here he is. So now he's beginning to talk to him. "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told of you the things, all the things which you appointed for you to do." And when I could not see for the glory of the light that led the being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, 'The God of your fathers has chosen you.'" Here it is. Here's the promise. "The God of your fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. For you shall be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." So there's the promise. All of a sudden, God's given Paul an assignment and a promise. Here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Praise the Lord. And finally, in Mark chapter 8 and Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. "And when he had called the people to him, with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whosoever will come after him, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.'" And look over at chapter 10, verse 28, Mark. "And Peter began to say to him, 'Lo, we have left all and have followed you.' And Jesus answered and said, 'Verily I say, there is not a man that is left, house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life.'" And of course, finally, in Matthew chapter 19, when he's talking about husbands and wives, he says, "Behold, I made them at the beginning, male and female. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. And the two shall be one flesh." You're the bride of Christ. You're going to leave, just like we read here in Mark, leave father, mother, sister, brother, and cleave to Jesus. Leaving this world based on what? A promise. And cleaving to Jesus. And finally, last scripture in Matthew chapter 6. We should read this prayer. And we could read also, I command you to read Psalm 23. What's the first verse? "The Lord is my, I shall not. He maketh me to green pastures. He leadeth me beside He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, this is a commitment to the Lord, isn't it? This Psalm 23 is the dedication of your life to the Lord. We read it. It's a great psalm. It's great for funerals. But this is a dedication of your heart and your soul to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." This is you believing the promise. This is you believing the promise. This is you receiving God's promise. Every day, this is you receiving God's promise. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." All of those scriptures, all of that to say this, is that you leave for a promise. Don't leave, even though you've left for some other reason, whether you were forced to leave involuntarily, whether you left for some other reason, left this world or left the world that you knew, always leave, come back, and leave because of the promise. And when you have that promise, leave, because God has created a kingdom, and we live in that kingdom. I don't know if I was able to communicate today. God created a kingdom and filled with promises that you would walk in, that you would walk with, that you would use to live by. Amen? So you're going to walk in these promises and don't forsake them. If you're 20, if you're 16, if you're young, read, if you're young, follow the promise of God. Don't let somebody else talk you into some foolishness. Because it's good. This doesn't matter. Because, you know, one thing we do know is at 80 years old, you're out. Yeah. But that's not the end of living. The end of living is in the kingdom of heaven is forever. So enjoy the kingdom of heaven before you get there. Amen. Enjoy it with the promise and bring somebody with you, for crying out loud. Amen. Bring somebody with you. I mean, don't go to their house. Go to your house. I mean, remember Enoch? Enoch walked with God. Yes. And one day, they just walked to God's house. Where'd Enoch go? Well, he went out for a walk. Never came back. You see these signs on the thing, on the freeway? You know, missing elderly. You wonder, well, did they just Jesus came? Well, don't worry about them. I think they just went home. All right. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to read you something I wrote this morning that Janet already talked to you about. She stole my thunder, but I saved it until the end. Maybe you forgot what she said. Yeah. Well, surely this isn't going to be what he's going to say. But this is my personal testimony, and this is really what began this message today. Was I'm going to read this because otherwise I'll get off on something. Grace. My daughter Grace is 19. She just turned 19. And she left everything she knows yesterday. Oh, this is going to be bad. I didn't write it. It wasn't bad, but now reading it's going to be awful. I may not be able to make it through. So she left everything she knows yesterday. I mean, she'd barely been. She'd been to a couple of little trips to her best friend up in St. Louis, but she had. By and large, I mean, Grace would be. She's 19. She'd be. I might spend the night over here somewhere, but then she'd call back later about 11:30. Say, "Well, I'm coming home." I mean, by and large, she's always home. Except when she was like just out of town, that might have been two or three, couple of times. Same with people she knew very well. So she left everything she knows yesterday. I mean, just got up and left it. Yes, she had a desire to visit Ireland. But why Ireland? I mean, you know, yeah, okay, fine, you know. She didn't like beer, so, I mean. She had been looking She'd been looking for the right school. She graduated high school last year. She'd been looking for the right school. ORU, she'd been up there, actually accepted. She was accepted as half a person at ORU. They got a whole person scholarship, and she got half. But, young, I'm reading the part that you didn't, well, weren't supposed to do. Yeah, okay. I wanted to wait till you got here. I wouldn't have preached so long if you hadn't. We could have gotten to this a lot earlier. So ORU, Christ for the Nations, or maybe just going to UNT up in Denton, or Tarrant County College. Right? That's the easiest one, you know, to attend. How could you miss that? Well, she missed it by one day. I mean, you could not get a class. She missed it by one day.
She missed the orientation.
Well, yeah, whatever. But you couldn't take a class without taking that. I mean, she was going to go to the easiest one you could go to. Can't you just walk in and go to that one and nobody even pay attention? You know, they won't even care. Just show up. Nope, sorry, you got to take this class. You can't come. So there was nothing she could do. She couldn't even go to the easiest one to go to. So why? And then here's what Janet shared with you. Janet did some research on Youth with a Mission, and there was a 50-year-old worldwide discipleship and mission organization has a discipleship training school in Ireland. And as Janet shared this morning, Grace's heart leapt. She just ran in the house, and that was it. That was it. That is the answer. That was the answer. And two dreams were brought together, her heart for the Lord. Just in a moment, and immediately she began to prepare. Funds began to come in. Yesterday she left alone to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, at least by name. But hey, what a name to leave to make your first step in your journey. Then on to Dublin, overseas, first time alone with Jesus as her companion. I mean, just alone, just on a plane, alone, going that and then that and then that. I mean, just keep going further and further and further. I mean, we watched it even. You can get it online and you can see a little thing with the flight going, you know. And we looked at it before we went to bed. You know, she's right out here just over Newfoundland. And then we looked at it again and all of a sudden she's out over the ocean. That's a big ocean. So she was confident when she left. She was confident and at peace. And even though I know her soul, her mind was wondering what's going to happen next. At 2:25 in the morning, she texted that she had landed. At 3:06, she sailed through customs and was with the Youth with Mission people in the car for an hour drive to Rostrevor on the southeastern corner of Northern Ireland. She was the only one they had picked up that day at the airport. She was the only one there. And at 4:44, she texted, said she had arrived, and commented, "It's different than what I expected." I immediately texted her and said, what do you mean by that? And they had recently been received a building that was had been used in, I can't remember the name of the organization, but for another organization since about 1919. And Youth with a Mission had been gifted that facility. Of course, quite an old, but a very big, but as far as I can tell, quite large, but very old facility for their headquarters there in that part of Ireland. And she says, it's a little rough, but it's very beautiful. And so, of course, she hadn't slept for 2 days, like we talked about. So, you know, not pressing her for too much information just yet. But thank you for your prayers for Grace. She'll be gone for, she's following the promise. Because she loved the idea of Ireland, but she was also, had been before that, looking for the calling, looking for the promise of the Lord. So we'll ask you to pray for her and, you know, support her if you can, and she's going to be there for 5 months. She'll be back on August 23rd. And in the meantime, she'll be 3 months in school and then 2 months in on a mission. So, but remember to leave based on a promise, and go ahead and leave. Okay? Some of you, you need to leave based on the promise. Some of you, you need to say, okay, even though I left for other reasons, I'm going to go back to the promise and go start now. Amen? Well, I hope you were blessed today. It's probably way out. So much. Sometimes there's so much scripture, it's overwhelming. But thank God. Amen? All right. Lord God, we thank you right now. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the promise. We thank you for the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for this kingdom location today where we meet, that we fellowship together on the promises of God and feast together on your mercies. Thank you that you just bring those who need to know Jesus into this place. Those who need to know Jesus today, if you're here, just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior today. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.